Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hearts of Sports Network podcast. I am your host, Imai Bishop, and I'm here with
Coke Rowell,
Jazzy Frierson.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and 5-star rate. So today is Friday. How y'all feeling?
Ready for the weekend?
Yeah. I mean, it's a short week. No, I don't got anything. Nah, never mind. I don't got anything planned.
Well, my little sister has her first soccer game. So.
Well, that should be fun.
Yeah. Is that the one that used to come to the basketball games and shit?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And she had the little cheerleader outfit on.
Now it's time for our Red Fox weekend review.
On Tuesday, September 6th, the Red Fox swim team traveled to Sumter to compete against other area teams. Both boys and girls teams have been working hard, and their effort is showing up in their times. The boys finished 5th in the 200-meter freestyle relay and 7th in the 200-meter medley relay. The girls finished 5th in the 200-meter medley and 6th in the 200-meter freestyle relay. The highlight of the afternoon was Courtney Andrews, who finished 1st in the 100-meter breaststroke in consideration for time for state, as well as placing 2nd in the 500-meter freestyle and a consideration time as well as for state as well. The swim team will be back in action Saturday, September 10th at the Conway meet in Conway, South Carolina.
Looking into cross country on Tuesday, September 6th, the Hartsville boys cross country team beat region for West Florence by 4 points with a dominating first place finish by Jonathan McIntosh. Jonathan won his race by 39 seconds. The girls also did outstanding with a second place finish. Overall, there were 7 season best times and 4 personal bests. The two boys' times were Jonathan McIntosh and Ethan Hickey. And for the girls, it was Katie Nutt and Regan Redd. Cross country will be back in action Saturday, September 10th at West Florence International in Florence, South Carolina.
Volleyball played Florence at South Florence and won 25-17 all 3 sets. Key players were Garisha Malincaster and Emmy Iskett.
This Friday, Hartsville football team will host Dillon at Kellytown Stadium. This is a rivalry that has renewed after 25 years. On the offensive side of the ball, the Red Fox offense is looking to continue their success. The Red Fox offense has scored 145 total points through the first 3 games and is looking to continue that success behind leaders such as Camilla McDaniel and Jayshawn Anderson. Coach Calabri said, "We have to be able to make individual plays against Dillon. We're going to have to pick up the small things that put together a great game against them." On the defensive side of the ball, Hartsville was looking to continue their dominance. The Red Fox has only allowed 45 points through 3 games. Coach Kuntz said Dillon does a lot of run plays, and we've been working hard to stop those runs during practice. Coach Kuntz also said the defensive line is going to play very well and get low because they have a big front line, which will be difficult to break through. We also took the time to interview Dillon head coach Kelvin Roller. Here's what he had to say. "We've been preparing like any other week. We understand it takes a great week of practice to play well on Friday nights, and that's no different this week. Hearts was a great program, but so do we, and I have a lot of respect for Coach Calabrese and his coaches. These two communities are rich in football tradition, so it should be an exciting atmosphere." With all that being said, see you at Kellytown Stadium tonight. Kickoff's at 7:30. Go Red Foxes.
And that's our Red Fox Weekend Review.
Now it's time for our Guest of the Week. The week we have the basketball cheer coach, guidance department chair, and all-around NCAA guru, Jaron Harrison.
Oh, look. That's an applause. Thank y'all for having me. You know, I appreciate everything you do with the podcast is going pretty well. Do y'all like it?
Yes.
All right, well, good. Well, you know, I'm glad to be here to talk a little bit about what I do. And then since it's a sports network, I guess you want to hear a little bit about the NCAAs.
We have a little bit of icebreaker questions for you. The first one is, if you were famous, what would you be famous for?
Talking. Yeah. I mean, I'd be talking.
What is your favorite sports team?
Well, I don't really do the NFL. So I went to Tennessee, so I would have to say the Vols. You're shaking your head. It's the only orange. For anybody who's listening, it's the only orange. Tennessee orange.
What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, since we're in a high school, I'd have to say is Mean Girls.
Will you prefer coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And what is your favorite go-to snack?
Cookies.
What kind?
Oh, okay. Chocolate chip cookie. Oh, well, I really like Tate's chocolate chip cookies, but then I'm a cookie girl. So
homemade or like the you like making homemade ones or like the pre-made
dough? Oh, see, I like homemade. I like to make homemade cookies. I make really good homemade oatmeal cookies, but I don't like to eat them. People like to eat them though. I prefer to eat a nice, nice gooey chocolate chip cookie.
All right, now here we have some NCAA questions.
Sure.
What is the NCAA worksheet?
Oh, the worksheet is where you put down all your classes that you've taken. You go through your four English and math courses and all the things that you need to have for your Division 1A or Division 2 core worksheet. And from that worksheet, you write down your grades, the classes you've taken, and then you get your GPA from that. And you can find it on the website.
What is a myth about the recruiting process that athletes and parents believe that is not true?
Several. Some people think that they have to do a lot of different things to get recruited, when really, if you are talented, if you're a good person, you work really hard in the classroom, it's a lot easier to get recruited. So there's not anybody you can really call sometimes. Sometimes people think they have to do these recruiting like websites. Have y'all heard of those? Like people pay money monthly and then they find out, they get hear from college coaches and stuff and they think that's how you get recruited. Some people think that you're going to, just up and get recruited and all scholarships are full of scholarships and, there's so many different levels to the amount of scholarship money you can actually get. So people think, oh, if I go to D1, then I'm automatically going to get a full scholarship. And, it just depends on the sport. It depends on what school and all those different things. So my advice would just be to go to the experts or, get online and do some research.
How do you get the word around about the recruiting process and the athletes?
Well, it depends on your high school coach can help. But a lot of people play club or AAU in the summers. And that helps to get the student athlete out and about. Sometimes people make profiles. A lot of people make YouTube videos. Like now, students can make highlight films on their own and put them on YouTube. It's a lot easier for people to see you. But the best way to get recruited is to get in front of college coaches. And so some people think, oh, well, I got one player on my team that's being recruited heavily. They're not coming to see me. They're only coming to see him or her. And in actuality, a lot of times college coaches are picking up people from their teams or the other team or watching how you if you play basketball, you're really good. Then they may be trying to say, well, she's a really good scorer, but who's playing defense on her? Well, the person on the other side of the ball who's playing the defense could, pick up some interest and get recruited there. So the best way to get it, word out is get in front of as many coaches as possible, and you never know who's watching. So, you may think that nobody's at your game, but somebody's cousin, sister, friend is watching. So,
what is the difference between D1, D2, D3, NAIA, and junior college?
Okay, so we'll start with junior college. Junior college is a two-year opportunity for students, and you can get a full scholarship to D1 to a Division I JUCO, just like you would a Division I school. So that'd be a full ride to those schools. But junior colleges provide an opportunity a lot of times for students who, at one point it was just because you didn't get the grades, but now it could be because, the way the transfer portal is set up, they aren't taking a lot of students directly out of high school into some of these boards. So you got more students going into junior colleges, not because of grades necessarily, but because they need extended opportunities to be able to get recruited. Division III schools don't offer any athletic scholarships. So you can get students going to Division III schools to play any sport, but the money they're using to go to those schools is academic money, which is why I'm always like in a school counseling office talking about keeping your grades up, because if you want to continue your sport, you will need to be able to, get academic money. NAIA is another conference group of schools. They don't really have, they may not have a full you know, athletic scholarship opportunity, but they do piece things together, of course, with your academic money, with your grant money and those things. NAIA schools in South Carolina would be like Columbia College, Voorhees, some of those smaller schools are NAIA, and that's a different set of requirements. So that's not with the NCAA. So you, with the NCAA, you got Division I, Division II, and Division III. So like I mentioned, Division III doesn't give any athletic scholarship money. Now, people can get money, but it's academic money or merit-based need money. A Division II, they're partial scholarships, which a lot of people see people getting like preferred walk-on offers at a lot of Division II schools, like North Greenville was one that I can think of. Erskine, they're getting partial scholarships or no scholarships that are athletic. They're coming with your academic and need-based money. So nothing's wrong with going D2, but there's different requirements on the NCAA worksheet, which I mentioned earlier, or what you asked about earlier, and that Division II scholarship will be like a partial. So it might be like if you go to Lander, say you go to Lander to play basketball or a sport, and they may cover your housing, but they don't cover your tuition with athletics. So you would need to be covering your tuition with, you know, your academic money or Pell Grant or whatever. Same with like Prince Mary's Division II. They may not have a spot for you, you know, to be play, you know, that sport, you know, athletic money, but they can give you academic. With Division I, depending on the sport, you can get a full athletic scholarship, which would cover everything. It covers your tuition, covers your room and board, depending on the sport. And so a lot of people think that no matter what the sport is, you're going to get a full scholarship because you're going to Division I, and that's not true either. So you got sports like track and some soccer, some things that don't, that offer only partial scholarship, even at the Division I level. And that's like partial athletic scholarship. So it just depends on the sport. You got headcount sports that no matter how many, like, for example, football, you may have a roster of 60 people. You can only give 60 scholarships, but you might have 90 people on the team. That means those other 30 people may not be receiving that full athletic scholarship. You get some schools that might, some sports that might be like, okay, we get a certain amount of money, and it's up to the coach to divvy out how much money each player gets on their team. And so that's the difference there. So there's a lot like into that, but people automatically, oh, you know, I'm going D1, and get caught up in the wrong kind of thing. It just depends. Like for track, you probably aren't going to get a full athletic scholarship for track unless you're like, you know, Olympic speed or Olympic times and jumps and those things. So a lot of people don't understand that either, but that's the difference.
What is a truth that all student athletes should know?
Get good grades. That is the truth. Do not fail classes, because if you have to replace classes, you can't use credit recovery, so we can't use APEX to replace your grades. So one truth is if you have good grades, your coach is more likely to be able to put you in a situation where you can get a scholarship. Coaches love to not have to like worry about your transcript.
In your opinion, what is the most important thing to think about when deciding which school to continue an athletic career?
For me, I think that when you're looking at schools, which I've talked to Maya, who's here, about school, and I hope to talk to the rest of you about it eventually, you have to figure out what's best for you in your long-term goals. So if you want a, you know, when you're thinking about athletics, it's kind of a means to an end, right? So your scholarship is to pay for you to go to school. You think about the small percentage of people who actually go to play professional sports, right? So when you're choosing a school, you want to choose a school that has what you need and a school that you can actually graduate from. And I say that not just for, you know, women's athletics, definitely for anybody in football. Like, so if you plan to graduate and you have a career, a lot of times people are thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to be in that 1% that goes on to the NFL. And that's just not realistic. So the number one thing I would say is to think about what, if they have what you need, you know, what the cost looks like. So if you're saying, okay, I want to play, like I had a student that wanted to play soccer at a division, that got an opportunity to do it at a Division III school, but there was another academic opportunity for that another school to be free. So continuing on to play soccer would be, you know, a bill as much as you would want to play, right? So sometimes you got to hang it up and just kind of know when to say when. So my advice would be to think about your long-term goals You don't want to go into any debt, you know, those kind of things. Just the best fit for you.
What about the recruiting services that parents pay for? Are they worth it?
No. Like I mentioned earlier, do not pay anybody to help you get recruited. And if you feel like you have to, right, even when students in our counseling office here at Hartsville will come in and they say, well, I was looking for the NCAA stuff, and when I typed it in, this other thing came up, and there's something called Next College Student Athlete. And Next College Student Athlete pops up, like, as soon as you, if you type in NCAA eligibility, a whole other website, or like getrecruited.com or something like that pops up. And people actually click on these links, which is not even the NCAA eligibility website. So I would hope if one of you guys, when y'all do your description, to put the actual website on there so people can click on that, because that is what you need to go to. It's the NCAA Eligibility Center, and it's web.something. Like, it's not even anything about being recruited, because the NCAA eligibility process has nothing to do with the actual recruitment nature of it. It's about making sure you are haven't been getting paid to play, haven't done anything weird, or making sure you have your grades. So that Next College Student Athlete, that getting recruited, their job is to help you. They'll help you, all right, but I still don't know. And y'all can ask Coach English or any of these other coaches. I still don't know anybody who's been recruited to a Division I school from a full scholarship from paying somebody, right? So it's a lot of connections to those Division III and Division II opportunities, which unfortunately they take advantage, because a lot of students who are doing it and parents can afford to pay, they also have the grades. So they're convincing them that you're being recruited for athletics, when in actuality, you're going to go to that school with a scholarship anyway.
All right. And today we are going to introduce a new segment called Topic of the Week. Each week we'll have we'll talk about some new topic that we feel is important for students and parents to know. This week we have Coach Harrison here, and we'd like to take some time to talk about some questions we personally have about colleges and the process of going to school. All right, if I were to attend the Citadel or VMI or any other military college, and yep, I were to enlist in the military afterwards, would I, like, what would it be like? Since I already attended the military college, would I have any special benefits going
yes.
in?
Yes. Okay, so if you graduate, and that's just with any college, and I've talked to some other people about that. I ain't going to call her out. But if you graduate from college with a college degree, then you already will have a higher rank. And then that rank is going to put you in a different pay bracket. It's going to give you an opportunity to be kind of ahead of the game when you actually have that actual degree. And so there's some benefits to that. And then also from your time in college, you would have used that time to decide what you want to do. So the military won't just be putting you in a place, right? So when you say, okay, I like, say you go to the Citadel or something and you major in, engineering. You know, and you're able to have a topical experience and you have a degree in this, then you're more likely to get moved to where you want, where you want to be able to do that work that you can do. So, I know some very successful people who've always wanted to go to the military, but they went the college route. It's a little more difficult, a little more time consuming, but the financial gain on the back end was really valuable.
When being at JROTC for 2 years, does it make a difference when going into college?
Yes. So if you've gone up, if you've been at ROTC for longer than 2 years, if you decide to go to college, then there's a lot of scholarships. And I try to tell people, with ROTC, if you go into a ROTC program without, you were talking about going to a military college, but like Maya, if you're talking about going to a 4-year college that has an ROTC program, there's scholarships associated with that. There's even some scholarships that will be full for doing ROTC in college that is associated with a branch of the military. And then when you graduate, still, you'd be able to do that. One that comes to mind in terms of, outside of the Citadel and VMI, South Carolina State, here in South Carolina, enlists the second highest number of black generals in the country, second to West Point, through their ROTC program. So there's different opportunities for students to, take the military as something they've always wanted to do, take advantage of the opportunity to get that 4-year degree, or at least being able to tailor that experience. So the 2 years in JROTC puts you in the running for, I think you have to have at least 2 years to be able to do ROTC in some of those colleges. And, a lot of colleges in the state have it, USC, Clemson, they all have ROTC. So, you just take advantage of that.
What is the hardest part for athletes or any student when they first get to college?
I think it's adjusting to the freedom, right? So You know, there's a saying that's like, you're so free, you fool. Yeah, it just is what happens. It's like you don't have anybody telling you to go to bed, get up, go to class. You know, like in college, you know, you can be in class and then you don't want to be in class anymore and then you just walk out. And the professor is not going to be like, hey, come back here. You know, there's nobody to write you up in the hallway. You're not going to Sunset. There's none of that. So you have to have some discipline. And I think just for any student or student athlete, getting used to the schedule and managing their time and balancing their fun and school, because college should be fun, but you are there for an education. So balancing that is tough. Balancing, managing your money, all of that, just that for those first few weeks, you know, is tough in general.
What were some things you did to balance your time throughout college?
Oh, well, I had a lot of fun in college. Let's see. I had a job and I stayed active. So I needed to do something. So I joined clubs immediately because I was active and I knew that I had too much free time. I noticed that my first month of school, I had way too much free time. So I started being a student assistant in the football office. And that was keeping me busy from like, you know, 2 to 6. And then that put me in a situation where I had to eat and then study. So I wouldn't just have so much free time. I think, you know, having clubs or having something you're responsible for doing is important. So that helped me balance my time a little bit. I also set a time where I studied and I set a time where I exercised. So, you know, if you do something, they say for more than 3 weeks, it becomes a habit. And so I would just, you know, there was just a certain time I just did certain things. And, you know, the other time I allowed myself to have a good time. Like, yeah, I just think it's important to be able to find, know you, because you can't stay in the room. If you stay in the room the whole time in college, and you'll be wanting to come home every weekend and all those different things. And so I saw myself getting into that because I had gone to school out of state, and I wanted to make sure that I stayed busy. So to answer your question, I just try to stay busy.
What are some examples like private universities?
Okay, so South Carolina has a lot of private universities. With that comes a lot of scholarship money too. So there's a South Carolina tuition grant, and there's scholarships specifically for students who are going to private schools. So Furman, Wofford, Presbyterian, Anderson. There's a lot of private institutions that there is support to go to. So what makes it private, of course, they're sponsored, typically in South Carolina's case, by a religious background at some point. Some are more religious than others in terms of like North Greenville. It's like a private Christian university, and they keep that. I think their mascot is like the Crusaders or something like that. So some are going to keep it more in the forefront, but then like, you know, others aren't going to be as like overt, but they have a religious backing typically in our state.
I'm not too sure how to ask this question, but what courses from high school is required to enroll like in healthcare courses for college?
Okay, so it just depends. Your school is going to give you, they're going to put you in your prerequisites. So I always tell people that if you want to go into healthcare, you know, take advantage of the courses we have here. We have anatomy, we have biology and the chemistry. Like, don't shy away from those classes preparing for college. But as long as you have your, you know, your three lab sciences for college, and you'll be fine. They'll, you know, put you in some of those classes, and it depends on where you want to go into healthcare. So if you want to go to nursing typically has very specific, like a nursing type chemistry, you know, then that's different from, you know, your chemistry and organic chemistry you might take if you're pre-med or something like that. So they'll put you in those classes when you get to college. You don't have to really worry. It's just good to have, you know, be familiar with them in high school.
Can you play a sport and be in ROTC?
You can. It just depends on the school, and it depends on the schedule. So when you're in ROTC, some of those programs require you to enlist in maybe like National Guard or something like that. And so it just depends on your schedule. Typically, no. But it also depends on what level you're playing at. Like if you're Division One, I probably wouldn't recommend it, depending on the sport, just because you may not have time. Like if you, you know, play Division One football, then you may not have time to be in your school's ROTC. But they may, you know, allow you to have opportunities in the spring. But when you're playing, you know, Division One full scholarship, you're like, that's your job, because you know that's what you're getting paid to do, basically, go to school. It can happen. It just depends on the school.
I think you already kind of answered my question, but how do private universities and public universities differ?
Okay, so, you know, private universities are more expensive. Like I said, there's that religious backing, and not necessarily, like, so, like Benedict College in Columbia or Columbia International, some of those schools, you know, have a backing that you have a certain requirement. You know, they can look at all the things on your social media, those kind of things. Like, I've had students to lose scholarships, athletic scholarships, because of things they have on their social media from attending some of these, or had gotten offers from some of these private institutions because there were things that they didn't agree with. And because they're private, they can kind of make the decision on their own versus public school, right? So public schools are state supported. Typically, there's money coming in from the state, federal government, into those schools. And so they don't have as much, like, you're not going to be a terrible person, but in terms of like moral things that schools can say, well, I didn't like that she posted her relationship on Instagram, or I didn't like that, you know, they were sharing things where people were cursing. A private school could say, yeah, we don't want him or her to come here. That doesn't really represent the values of our university. And so a lot of them, like I said, have that religious Christian backing or base. So even at their core, that's still very important to people who are donating the money, right? So if the Baptist Collegiate Ministry in, you know, they're donating a bunch of money to that school, and they're like, well, we don't feel like this person is a good fit for our school, then they can do that. Where a state-supported school doesn't necessarily have those requirements. The cost is also very different. You know, you might be paying, well, the ticket on, you know, Furman might be $60,000 or $70,000, or Wofford might be $60,000, where, you know, Francis Marion might be $23,000, or, you know, South Carolina might be $28,000, right? So that's because of the state support, and it's not necessarily private. Private institutions also can fluctuate a little bit on their admissions standards. So, like, if someone says, well, state school says you got to have this to get in, got to have this to get in, a private school can, you know, like Claflin and South Carolina in Orangeburg, where we have like Jonathan Plymouth graduated and he's there, you know, their admission standards can fluctuate. Whereas, you know, South Carolina State right next door, if the state says they have to have a certain GPA, then they have to have that. A little bit more freedom with that.
What helps an athlete when picking a major?
Got to think about what you really want to do or what you like. I think people jump into majors just because it seems like it's nice, right? So people are like, oh, I want to do criminal justice. Then I'm like, what do you want to do? They're like, oh, I want to be a lawyer. I'm like, okay, do you want to be a defense lawyer? Well, no, ma'am. Well, then, you know, criminal justice is talking about a lot of different things, and you're learning a lot of social studies. So you got to decide. So you can really major in anything to go be a lawyer. You just need to be able to write, right? You got to be able to read. And so it's really important, you know, to think about what you really, really want to do. You know, a lot of people say, well, I want to do marine biology, or they want to be a vet. And they want to do, you know, animal science. But when it comes down to it, do you really want to be putting puppies to, you know, down? Is that, that's a part of, you know, being a vet, you know, and getting through those classes. So I think for anyone, you know, deciding what you really want to do is really important. I always recommend that students look at majors that, you know, don't require you to have a master's degree, particularly athletes who are not sure what they want to do. So certain jobs, certain majors sound like jobs, like engineering. When you graduate, you're an engineer. Go to nursing, when you graduate, pass the NCLEX, and you're a nurse. Where, you know, you major in biology and you're pre-med, the only thing you can do after you graduate with a biology degree is what would y'all guess?
Biology degree, when you graduate in biology?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do like doctor?
Yeah, but you'd have to keep going to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is there anything you can think of that you can do that you wouldn't have to keep going to school? Yeah, teach, which is nothing wrong with that, but you'd have to know that that's what you want to do, right? You know, that's a different, you could teach, you could work in a lab, but that's still, you know, so thinking about those kind of things, like if you major in psychology, you're not a counselor or a psychologist until you've gone on to get your master's degree. So, you know, to answer your question, it's important for you to think about, you know, what you want to do when you graduate. Like, you're looking at 4 years of college, 6 years of college, 10 years of college. I mean, nothing's wrong with that, but, you know, you won't be considered a doctor until you're probably 30. I mean, 20, I mean, honestly, because you got to do a lot of, there's a lot that goes with that. And then people are like, oh, I didn't know it took that long. Like, yes, it takes a minute. But like with being a school counselor, I have to have a master's. You have to have a master's degree. So that's 6 years of school, just in general. And so, you know, I try to tell people when they're looking at choosing their major, you know, what can you do with what you graduate with, without doing that, if you're not interested in the continuing on.
Law school is 3 years, isn't it?
Yes. So, like I said, you know, you major in criminal justice, right? Or you major in sociology. Then you're not, I mean, you're not a sociologist, right? When you graduate, or, you know, when you major in criminal justice, like, what jobs will you think people have? Like, people.
My probation parole.
Mm-hmm.
Probation parole, stuff like that.
Yeah. So then you do that, and then you still have to get some certification to do that. So that's even outside, you know, you just have to know kind of what you want to do. I think criminal justice is a great major if you know that's what you want to do. Like, some people, I had a student tell me they want to do criminal justice and they want to be a police officer. Well, you still got to go to police academy.
My dad did criminal justice, and he had to work in it for 25 years. And mm-hmm. then when he worked that long, though, he got, like, high up in it, but, yeah.
Right, and so I think it's important for young people to think about the time that you are putting in. I think y'all are a generation of, like, you know, y'all want to, like, walk in and then, you know, be the boss or whatever. and it takes a little time to be the boss, you know. But, you know, so in choosing a major, I think it's just really important. I love to talk to y'all about that kind of stuff because, you know, you really don't know. I changed my major 4 times when I was in college. 4. But I was also pre-med when I left. And then I never went to biology class. So go figure. Can't be a doctor if you don't go to biology.
You already started your courses, changing your mind like that?
Yeah, I was. I went, but the class was just way too big.
Wait, what?
Super overwhelming. So I went there. Well, I was lost the first 2 days. And then they were like, oh, it's in the auditorium. But I went to a big school. And I went to UT. So there was probably 500 people in my biology 101 class. And I got in there and I sat down and I was just like, not the same me. I can't. So then I went, and then my RA, which is my resident assistant, when you get to college, you have one in your dorm. She was like, you know, you can drop that class. I was like, word, I'm dropping the class. And then, well, you know, you can't be a doctor if you don't go to biology. So I had to find another journey. And here I am. I love what I'm doing. So, I mean, it's okay. It's just that people think there's a lot of pressure to figure out what you're going to do because you really don't know. You don't know until you get out and you're making those decisions and you're in those classes and those kind of things. But it took me a while to figure out how I want to help people. I just know I want to help people. And I get a lot of y'all want to help people. And there's so many ways to help. So,
how can you relate regular scholarships to military scholarships based off the ones you already have?
Oh, so they come, it just depends. So, like, with scholarships for the military, sometimes they require you to have years of service after that, just like with, you know, other things, you're committing to time served or time serving. Those scholarships, maybe you may sign up before you go to college. They may say, well, we'll pay for you to go to college if you do XYZ, those things. So when you're pairing those with your Life Scholarship or Hope Scholarship or Pell Grant and those things, that can make, you know, school free. So it'll stack.
In college, can you still have as much fun as you did in high school, or would it be easier to fall behind?
Oh, you're going to have more fun in college. But it is easier to fall behind. So you got to decide which one's more important to you. College is easier to fall behind because, like I told you, like I mentioned earlier, there's no one. I mean, if you don't get up, you just don't get up. Mm-hmm. And that is no good. Here, you got somebody that's like, if you don't show up first block, then your mom or dad or whoever you live with is going to get like a phone call, like a text. It's going to go to their phone. When you're in college, like, you know, if your roommate's a really super good roommate, they might wake you up when they leave. I'm like, how you still asleep? You need to go. We about to leave. It's 2:00. But college really gives you an opportunity to meet new people. You know, I just took a trip with my best friend I met in college. I've had the same friends since middle school, but then I went to college and found a whole other group of people that we connected on a different level. And so that's what, you know, whether it's college or working after or the military, you'll meet people who will expand your mind or doing different things. You might partner up with somebody, open a business. Just think about all the companies you probably could read about where people met whoever they're making millions of dollars with in their dorm room, in an economics class. Oh, you want to do this? You know, those kind of things. That, I mean, it's worth it, but definitely the management of self is important.
Should I submit my scores to college, like my ACT, SAT? Like, is there any colleges that you shouldn't submit to or any you should submit to?
There's a couple of things with that. So a lot of schools are test optional right now. The students I'm working with specifically, like, we know what your scores are. But the University of South Carolina, we met with them yesterday. They're still test optional, right? So I know a lot of people listening probably, you know, want to apply there. They're still test optional. Clemson is still hanging in there as test optional as well. So I wouldn't submit any scores unless they're like requested, or unless you can, you know, like, you've done really well and you know that it's going to put you in the running for some merit-based scholarships. I can think of at least 5 to 10 students I know that are on scholarships from that graduated last year that we did not submit test scores. So it can be done, but, you know, you just got to see where you are in the class. Like, if you need a scholarship, a test score to get the Life Scholarship or Palmetto Fellows, then you need to keep taking it. And just to plug, I think Hartsville's hosting an ACT here on October 22nd, and you need to sign up by September 16th. So, that's just a note, plug, if you need to take another test, I would recommend going and taking it. Can't hurt.
What scores did you have to meet to get into college that you attend?
Well, when I went to school, I think the base was probably like a 22 or 23, but I took the SAT, and that was what was the vibe then. So, I mean, to get the scholarship I got, though, I needed to have over 1,200. I was able to go to scholarship to Tennessee. So I think it just depends on the school. Like, and it's changed, it's fluctuated. That's why people, because of COVID, have gone away from the testing, because, you know, I took the test 4 times. And so you guys as seniors, you won't have time to take it reasonably that many times and do well, you know, to build your score. So y'all had a window of time where y'all weren't even at school and they weren't even offering the test, right? So that's why people have gone test optional. So, you know, you can write a mean essay and you can, you know, keep your grades up as much as possible. But I think the focus on testing, you know, it just depends on the school. I don't think very many people are admitting based on your test score, like, right now, just because it's very, like, that's not the only reason. Schools have gone to a holistic review process and they're looking at everything. So that's kind of how I got admitted.
Is it harder to communicate with family and friends, or maybe, let's say, you're in a relationship with someone? Is it harder to communicate when you're in college?
Well, guys, hate to break it to you. No, it is. It just depends on your situation. Family and friends, like, when I was in school, like, we just got cell phones. So I'm telling on myself, but, you know, everybody didn't have a cell phone anyway. I did. It was way super cool. But everybody just got cell phones, and so it really wasn't as important to talk to people every day. Like, now, you know how y'all are. If somebody leave you on red, or you can see them online on, like, Snapper or something like that, and then they don't text you back, you're like, oh, you ain't text me back. Like, that's weird. So now, you know, it's, people take that kind of stuff more personally. I'm saying when you go to college, like, so you might not talk to somebody all day. So when I was in college, I could not talk to my boyfriend who was here at Prince Marion all day long, and it wasn't a big deal. But can y'all, because we didn't, I mean, I was at school, he was at school. What, we didn't talk for all day? But now culture has changed, right? Y'all are expecting to talk to people all day, text each other back, all this different stuff. So you can't really, you know, so it's, that's why I say, hate to break it to you. It's tough, because one, you don't want that person to kind of keep you from doing things you'd want to do. And of course, nobody you'd want to be with would keep you from doing things you want to do, like, long term. But you definitely don't want to, you know, you definitely want to make sure that you have, like, an understanding of communication. Family and friends, they'll find you. If they love you, that people will find a way to get in touch with you. They will. I mean, it'll be all right.
All right. Do you have any shout-outs?
Shout out to you guys for this awesome show. I'm hearing great things about it. Y'all are building confidence every week. I listen to it in my office when I'm supposed to be, you know, when I'm working or doing something on a computer. So just keep, you know, keep it up. Shout out to the school counseling department. Shout out to the cheer team. Shout out to Coach English for doing the podcast, because I think it helps with communication. And I think it helps people see what all the great things we're doing at Hartsville High. So good job, y'all. Keep it up.
Thank you. And we want to thank you for your time, Coach Harrison. and we hope to see you on the show again.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening once again. Thank you for listening once again. Remember, you can listen to Hartsville Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and, of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. I am your host, Demaya Bishop, and I'm here with...
Coach Corral.
Jazzy Frierson.
We are out. Boom!